Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Maphosa, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Zama. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm complaining.
Lovely. Great to hear from you, man. We're talking about one of the fundamental beliefs of the SDA Church. We talked about Trinity a couple of weeks ago. We talked about God the Father last week. This week, we're talking about the Son. And God the Eternal Son became incarnate in Christ. Through Him, all things were created. The character of God is revealed. The salvation of humanity is accomplished. And the world is judged. Forever truly God, He always become truly man. So Christ is He. Now it's a mystery that will forever boggle our minds. Pastor, who is God the Son, or the Son of God, whichever way you want to put it?
Okay, when we read through the Bible, God the Son refers to Jesus Christ. God the Son refers to Jesus Christ. He is seated amongst the Trinity as a member of the Trinity and being the Son.
Okay.
Yes. I don't know. Can you hear me clearly? I'm getting some feedback, he said.
Yeah, I'm also getting a feedback this side. You're not clear. I'm not sure what is happening, but I can hear you, but you are not clear at all. Should I maybe try and recall the number?
Okay, let's maybe try and recall.
Yeah, maybe let's try and recall the number. Well, we're talking about the Son, and who is, the Son of God. And that's what we are discussing this afternoon with Pastor Maphosa. And we're hoping that by the end of the conversation, that is on Friday, we're only concluding this conversation on Friday, that we would have been able to determine exactly who the Son of God is. Pastor, are you back on the line?
Yes, I'm back on the line.
Still, but not very much improved, only slightly, but I can hear you. So I'm not sure what's happening on your side. We would definitely, maybe we need to move around or something. Not sure. Talk to us about how the Son was foreordained before the foundation of the world as the sacrifice for sin, and who ordained Him, and why. We see He's also the firstborn of creation. Explain all of that to us.
Okay. So, this is the thing about God. The salvation of man did not come as an afterthought. Before God created man, He understood that there is a possibility that man would fall into sin. So before He created man, He made a provision that in case man falls into sin, what should be done? Because now, we see a similar discussion in Genesis 1, verse 26. The Godhead, or the Trinity, they discuss and say, let us make man after our image. So what it shows is that God discussed and planned before creating man. And therefore, when we go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, Peter is speaking about Jesus, and he's saying He was really foreordained before the foundation of the world. So now, because of the knowledge of God, He then made sure that there is a plan that is put in place for man to be saved in case he fell into sin. So God discussed, that is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they discussed what could be done in case man fell into sin. This is how we then got the function of God the Son so that man can be saved. So, the incarnation, His death, and His resurrection were not a result of a change of purpose to to meet unforeseen circumstances. These were foreseen and they were foreordained in the eternal counsels of God.
Mm.
So God already prepared of what could be done in case men fell into sin. So when men fell into sin, the plan was then just triggered. So this is what Peter meant when he said Jesus was foreordained before the foundation of the world.
Mm. Yeah. Now,
this is the same as in Ephesians 1:4. Paul says, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." You see, even before the creation of the world, we had been chosen in him. He chose us. So these were pre-planned events, and he made sure that he makes a provision that in case we fall into sin, we can still be saved and not be lost.
Yeah. It is now 18 minutes after the hour of 4 o'clock. Pastor, do tell us about prophecies and predictions regarding the coming Savior before his incarnation into human flesh.
Okay, thank you so much. So now, I must tell us that God will not do anything before he tells his servants the prophets. So the coming of the Savior had to be announced to humanity so that people would get ready for the coming of the Savior. So when we go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, we see the first announcement to humanity about the coming Savior, whereby God is cursing the snake. He says, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will cut your head, and you will strike his heel." So now God is giving this curse. The man has been cursed. The woman has been cursed. As he is cursing the snake, he then gives hope to humanity that this snake has put humanity into this predicament. But there is one who is going to be born of the woman who is going to crush the snake, who is going to fight this one who has brought humanity into what? Into this predicament. So this is the first sign of what? Of the coming of the Savior. And then as we read through the Bible, maybe let's go to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Isaiah says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel." So the other thing, the other prophecy that is clear is that the virgin will conceive and give a son. This is the sign of the Messiah. And he will be called Emmanuel. God is with us. So this is another prophecy about the Messiah. And then when you go to Micah chapter 5, verse 2, God also gives a prophecy of where the Messiah will be born. He says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." So this is the prophecy also about the birth of Jesus, whereby he says that he will be born from Bethlehem. Though Bethlehem is among the small clans of Judah, the one who will be born from Bethlehem will be a ruler of Israel, whose origins are from old and are from ancient times. So this is another point of who the Messiah will be, of who to identify the Messiah, and where he will be born.
Now, there's been much discussion, really, about if Christ is the Messiah. I mean, we hear from the Jewish community that, no, you Christians have got it wrong. We are still waiting for the Messiah, and he did not meet the criteria of a Messiah. How do we determine that Christ is or was the Messiah?
Okay, this is how we will determine. Firstly, let's remember Genesis 3, verse 50. God said, this one will be the seed of the woman, and he is not speaking to the man, but this is the seed of the woman on her own, without the aid of the man. And then we go to Isaiah. It is a virgin who will conceive and give birth to a son. This one will be the Messiah. Why did God put it like this? Because it is the woman who was deceived and fell into sin, not the man. So the one who was deceived had to bring forth the one who will conquer the deceiver. So now, when we are looking at Jesus, how then do we know that he is the Messiah? How then do we know that he is the Messiah? When we take our Bibles to Luke chapter 1, verse 26 up to 32, you know, maybe let's read it through. Let's read it through. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, for the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled, saying, and cast in her mind, what manner of salutation this shall be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor in God. Verse 31 says, And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and thou and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. So, Genesis said the seed of the woman. And then Isaiah said the virgin will conceive and give birth a son. And then Luke then says, Mary, you are a virgin. Gabriel says, you shall conceive and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. So now, Joseph knew and understood that Mary is a virgin. If we read further, Joseph even sought to put Mary away when he realized that she was with child, that she was pregnant, because he knew that he had not laid with her. So a virgin conceived. A virgin conceived. So this is the first sign about the birth of the Messiah. And that there is not going to be any contribution of a man's seed for the Messiah to be born. Then we see a virgin who has conceived. And then Micah says, You Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient time. And then now, when we go to Luke chapter 2, Caesar Augustus gives a decree that everyone in the world should be taxed, and everyone to be taxed in their city of origin. And then Joseph, verse 4 of Luke chapter 2, Joseph went from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because that was his origin. He had to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Verse 6 says, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. The other thing, the first thing, the prophecy says, this will be a seed of the woman. This will be conceived by the virgin. And then also, the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. So when the time was right, then God moves his servant, Caesar Augustus, to call for a census, to call for everyone to be taxed in their city of origin. Joseph and Mary go to Bethlehem to be taxed. And while they are there, Jesus is born. And then now, the other thing, Micah says, his origin are from of old and from ancient times. We go to John. We go to John chapter 1, verse 1 up to 3. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And then verse 14 says, the Word became flesh. And when the Word became flesh, he dwelt amongst us. And when he dwelt amongst us, we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father. These verses are referring to Jesus as being from the beginning with God, being from the beginning God, and being with God at the same time, at the time of creation. Micah said his origins will be of ancient days. He will be from ancient times. So he is born in Bethlehem by a virgin who conceived without the aid of men. And you know, there's something that Jesus says that is so interesting that he says about himself. In John chapter 8, verse 58, he says, verily I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. You know, in English, it looks like it's grammatically wrong. But theologically, when Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am, theologically, it is correct. He was saying something about himself. I am is a continuous present tense. So what Jesus was simply saying to the Jews, he says, before Abraham was there, I was there. When Abraham was there, I was still there. Abraham is not there today. I am still there. And tomorrow, I will still be there. He was simply saying, I come from eternity. I go into eternity. Which is what Micah said, that his origins are from old and from ancient times. So the death of Jesus, his incarnation, his coming into this world, they show that Jesus is truly the Messiah.
Yeah. Indeed, truly, the Messiah. Pastor, I must thank you so much for coming through this afternoon. Always a pleasure to talk to you. We're going to be connecting with you again once again tomorrow at the same time and same place.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
Lovely. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.